Amen. Thank you, choir. You cannot put a lot of stock in what they said, because they will get you in trouble. You've got to put stock in what God says, because God means to do us well. Thank you for that message, choir. Let me reiterate something that Reverend Spears mentioned. The Zoom information for our Lenten devotional is new, and I sent an email to you, and the Mission and Brotherhood also sent that, forwarded that email to your distribution list, to their distribution list. So hold on to it. It's going to be the same ID and passcode each Wednesday in Lent. So join us this Wednesday at noon. I want to read a passage from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, 1 through 4, New International Version. And the text says, "Then the Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran." The word of our God. A new normal. I've been thinking about the Murdaugh trial, the verdict, and the sentencing. Have you been following it? It was a crazy case. When the jury reached a verdict so quickly, I said to my wife, they found him guilty. And as I watched and listened to the judge give his comments, I told my wife, the judge might need some protection. Because you never know whether someone in the family will seek retaliation. We didn't see the jurors, not at first. We just heard them speak when their numbers were called. But then, as Murdaugh was being led out of the courtroom, the cameras panned past the jurors. And I said, oh, no. And they've been exposed for all the world to see. I thought about that. It's risky being part of a high-profile case. It's risky for the judge. It's risky for the lawyers. It's risky for those who testify. And sometimes people make threats. Sometimes, in order to avert threats, persons are placed in a witness protection program. You've heard of that, right? They are relocated. They are given a new identity. They are given a new job. They are instructed to have no contact with persons from their former life. And I thought about that. Because you never know what will happen. But to be taken away from everything And everyone that is familiar to you has to be a difficult thing. I don't know whether I could do that. I had to be placed in a witness protection program. But if your life depends on it, you accept the challenge. And that would truly be a new normal. What if God were to speak to us and send us in a completely different direction? What if God were to show up and say, I want to move you away from everything that is familiar? What if God were to show up and say, I want to move you away from everything that is normal? I want to give you a new normal. We had sort of an experience with that. In many ways, the pandemic brought us to a new normal. We've had to make changes to protect ourselves and others, but those changes haven't been too radical. In this sanctuary, we went from preaching looking at a computer to preaching to an empty sanctuary to preaching back in person, and still members have not returned. But those changes haven't been too radical. We still exist basically with the same normal we experienced prior to the pandemic. But sometimes, beloved, God shows up and initiates a new normal for our lives. God upends everything and leads us to a radically different situation. And that's what happens in our text. God comes to Abram, later known as Abraham, and initiates a new normal. Listen to the text. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Abram has traveled with his family from Ur of Chaldea to Haran. And God, all of a sudden, shows up one day without an introduction. God doesn't say, hello, I'm God. Without notice and without any prior interaction with Abram, he shows up and issues an imperative, a command, an imperative. And God says, go. And we aren't told what God sounds like. Is it an audible voice? Or is it a voice speaking in Abram's spirit? We aren't told what God sounds like, whether God's voice is loud or soft. God comes to Abram and says, go. And the imperative or command, comes in varying levels of intimacy. Because first he says, go from your country. The big place. And then it becomes more intimate. He says, go from your people or your clan. And then it becomes more intimate. He says, go from your home. Talk about a new normal. That's a radical imperative. God says, go. And then he says, to a land I will show you. God doesn't identify Abram's destination. God doesn't even say, I'm taking you over there. God says, go to a land I will show you. So God wants Abram to set out on the basis of hope. And God wants Abram to exist in a situation where he has to wait for fulfillment. Wow. God doesn't show up and give it to him. God says, I want you to go on the basis of hope. Now, Abram has no prior awareness or history with God. To leave his home and his family is a big deal. He's not in danger. He hasn't been with a high profile case where he needs to run and hide. He doesn't have to move. But moving from one place to another is not perhaps new for Abram. Tribal people are nomadic. They move from place to place in search of better resources. He lived among a tribal group of people. So moving from place to place isn't new. But what is new is that this move is initiated not by necessity, but by divine imperative. God appears and says, go. And he wants Abram to exist upon a foundation of hope. How many of us would do that? Think of all the questions we'd have. Who do you think you are? Wait a minute, come again? What's your name? Get up and go, please. How many of us would embrace the call to a new normal from someone who is unfamiliar and untested? And that is exactly what Abraham does. He leaves without an itinerary and without a destination. Abram leaves with the hope of nationhood. Now, I know that the word nationhood doesn't connect with you. The text says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. So that God doesn't issue this call without a promise. Are y'all still here? Y'all tracking with me? The first promise is about nationhood. God promises to build a great nation through Abram. Now, Abram already has a clan and a family group, and God says, leave that clan. I've got something bigger for you. I'm going to initiate a community that is greater than any clan you've ever known. I'm going to build you into a nation, just like the other nations of the earth. And God promises that the nation will be great and God will bless Abram. He doesn't tell him how it's going to happen. He doesn't tell him at this point when it's going to happen. It's a promise shaped by hope. So Abram leaves Haran with the hope of becoming a great nation. Now, that's not too shabby. You know, if you by yourself and just your family and your wife, and somebody shows up and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. That's not too shabby. That might make the encounter worth considering. That might make you join the hope crowd. Many sports teams hire coaches with the hope that they will transform their teams into champions. The University of Texas has been doing for several years. And Baylor. Many artists sign with record labels with the hope that the label will make them into stars. Many athletes work with famous trainers and coaches with the hope that they will win titles and tournaments. Many people choose companies and accept positions in the hope that their careers will be launched and successful. People want to be attached to a winner because winning begets winning. There's hope that the aspirations and goals will become to fruition. But usually, when you do that, there's evidence of success. There's a track record or a portfolio that supports the choice. But God offers Abram nothing but hope. And he leaves with the hope of nationhood. That's one promise. And second, Abram leaves with the hope of renown. R-E-N-O-W-N, renown. Because the text says, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Ah, that's it. God promises renown for Abram. His name will be known all over. His name will be famous. His name will be honored. That's what renown means. Abram's reach and impact will be a blessing. God will take Abram from obscurity to worldwide prominence. Abram leaves with the hope of renown. His name will be great. Why does God promise renown? Is God appealing to Abram's ego? Does God sense that Abram has a desire for self-aggrandizement? Nah, that's not it. This promise is not to entice Abram into obedience. It's a promise that highlights the scope of what God plans for Abram. God plans to do a work through Abram that the whole world will see and respect. God plans to give Abram a new normal. He says, in effect, you're hanging around with this small clan, but I've got a bigger plan for you. You will be known and revered far beyond this clan. Your name will be great because of my blessings and hand upon your life. So the renown is not a matter of Abraham being elevated in prominence. It's a matter of the elevation of God and because of what God does in Abram's life. God wants the peoples of the earth to know about it. God says, I'm going to make your name great and I'm going to do great things in you because I want the people of the world to know about it. So Abram can be a blessing. Sometimes God sends a blessing to us so that God can be a blessing through us. And sometimes God takes us to certain levels and through certain doors, not so we can talk about how good we are, but so that God's name can get the glory because of what God has done in our lives. He leaves the hope of renown. Now, for many, renown, being famous, is their objective. Many folk want a great name. They want prominence and recognition. And that's why sometimes we have to give out plaques. We have to publish donor lists. Because some folks will not give one dime or respond unless their name is mentioned. That's why we have VIP sections and sponsor sections, because some folks seek recognition and the spotlight. But Abram isn't seeking renown. Abram is leaving on the basis of hope. He doesn't know what God has planned. He's not looking to have a street named after him. It is God who promises to make his name great. The Bible says in Psalm 75, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Nobody can promote us like God can. Don't be going out trying to build a kingdom for yourself. Let God build it. Come on, somebody. Let God set you up. Let God establish your goings. Let God give you renown. So Abram leaves the hope of a nationhood, the hope of renown. And he leaves with the hope of divine blessings. The text says, I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. There is no mention of riches. There is no mention of specific resources. God just promises blessings to Abram. You might not be yet become wealthy on this journey, but God will take care of you. Huh? And provide your every need. He promises blessings. And one of the blessings is land. He doesn't open a geographical door and say to Abram, here's the land. He says, it's down the road land. It's land I'm going to show you. It's hope land. But land represents community. He promises him land that represents this nation build, this community. It represents resources. It represents stability and power. He promises land, and then he promises that Abram's family will be blessed. He promises divine protection, that Abram will be in the divine protection program. God will take care of those who come against Abram. And that's how he said, I'm going to take care of you, protect you, and I'm going to take care of those who come against you. We run around trying to chase down our enemies. You don't have to chase them. You don't have to run after them. God can take care of them. He will take care of those who treat him right. So if you treat Abram right, you're going to be blessed. This means that God will superintend Abram's life. That God will be present with him. That God will watch over him. That God will protect him. And what I like about this passage is God's blessings are not just for Abram, but also for all the peoples of the world. That Abram will be a vehicle through which all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Look at this. God chooses Abram exclusively, but the choice leads to an inclusive outcome. God chooses to bless one person individually, but that blessing will extend to all the families of the earth. And that's what God eventually goes on to tell Israel. I didn't choose you because you were the best among the nations of the earth. I just chose you. I just picked you. But I didn't pick you just for yourself. I picked you because I wanted to extend grace and blessings to everybody in the earth. Abram leaves with the hope that he will be protected and that he will impact others, that his life and his nation will influence the entire world. That's a new normal. As tribes and clans move from place to place, there are always risks. There are conflicts. There's fighting for space and resources. Things on the road for the tribe get precarious. And survival is always a top priority. Abram was accustomed to that. But he's called to the hope of a new normal. His life and his survival will be handled by God. God will provide for his needs. God will not abandon him. So God comes to Abram. calls him and tells him to be what one scholar said, a hoper. H-O-P-E-R, a hoper. And Abram accepts the call to live with hope. He's 75 years old. And he steps out with hope. And God says, I'm going to make you a nation. And he's 75 years old and has no children. And he steps out with hope. And Abram doesn't question God. He does three important things that constitute faith. He says, okay. He says, yes. And the third, he leaves, bearing the mantle of hope and promise. Beloved, that's all God requires for us to say, okay, God. For us to say yes to God and then to act with hope. This season of Lent takes us on a journey. Journey was Abram's assignment. It is a journey with God. Lent is a faith journey, a spiritual journey that allows us to think about our relationship with God. Lent is a journey that helps us think about where we are with God in our prayer life, in our service for Christ, in our understanding of the Word, and in our daily walk. During Lent, we discover some blind spots, things that God sees, but we don't see. And God helps us to look at ourselves and determine which areas need fixing and to begin the journey to renewal. That's what Lent is about. And although Lent is a journey, we don't expect that God is going to radically change the trajectory of our lives. We expect to remain with basically the same routines, the same rituals, and the same location. Most of us expect the journey of Lent to be a spiritual journey, not a physical journey. So we're not thinking that God is going to show up and say, go and leave, and certainly not relocate us. But even though Lent isn't always a relocation, God might want to do something different in our lives. And God just wants us to say, okay. Have you ever said that to God? In your spirit, said to God, okay, I yield, I submit. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said in your spirit to God, yes? God is standing at the door knocking. God is trying to get through in your prayers. God's trying to get through in your life and trying to get your attention. And have you just said to God, yes, come on in, fill me, cleanse me, change me, move me, come on in. Have you said yes to God? Walked out to act with hope in the promises of God. I'm almost done. You might not put a lot of stock in this story. You might say it's just another biblical allegory. It's not literal. It's not real. Somebody doesn't just wake up one day, go home, tell the wife, we're leaving, and just leave. You might say, I won't do it because I need God's track record. I need somebody to show me what he's done before. Show me if God can be trusted, if God keeps his promises. I tell you, beloved, we operate with hope all the time. When teams hire a coach with a proven track record, there is no guarantee of a championship. Isn't that right, somebody? When we accept a job that we think will cement our career, there's no guarantee of success. In fact, you don't have to go to a Fortune 500 company to be on top of the world. God can take you to a startup and use that startup to change your life and to change your situation. When we train with someone we think will help us achieve our goals, no matter how good they are, no matter how much they've done in the past, there is no guarantee of success. So we all operate on the basis of hope. We got in our cars this morning on the basis of hope. We started driving toward the sanctuary on the basis of hope. There was no guarantee we would get here safely. We got up on the basis of hope. But I tell you, when we trust God, when we say okay to God, there is a guarantee. When we say yes to God, there is a guarantee. When we say okay to God, there is a guarantee. Because God never fails. What he says, he'll do. When he speaks, you can bank on it. What he promises, he'll bring through. You can trust in God. The widow of Zarephath, I'm done, but my soul is happy. You might not be happy, but my soul is happy. Widow of Zarephath was outside one day, gathering some sticks to have her last meal with her son. And she was gathering, she only had a little oil left in the jar and a little meal in the cruse, in the barrel. And here comes a hungry preacher named Elisha. And Elisha says to the widow, what are you doing here? She says, I'm preparing a last meal for myself and my son. There's a famine in the land. I've got nothing left. And the preacher says, well, before you fix something for your son, fix me something. Go and make me a little cake. And if you make me a little cake, you will have a blessing from God. The woman must have thought this man was crazy. Here come this knucklehead preacher, always hungry, always looking for fried chicken and collard greens and macaroni and cheese. And he's got the unmitigated gall to come to me at the last moment and try to eat my last meal. But the woman didn't say that. The woman said, okay. She said yes to the man of God. And when she said yes, God blessed her. The oil never ran out. The meal never ran out. What am I telling us? Say yes to God. Say okay to God. Leave when God says leave. Go when God says go. And God will bless you. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll open doors for you. He'll heal your body. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll put food on the table. He'll watch your enemies away. He will. He will. He will. He will. He will. He will. I know he's all right. I tried him for myself. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. A new normal. You're watching. You're here in the sanctuary. God is in the new normal business. God is in the protection program business. And God can take you from where you are to a normal you never imagined if you trust him. We invite you to come. You can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org online. If you're here, get up from wherever you are. This is your day. This is your time. As our ministers, deacons, and greeters come, the invitation is extended. Will you stand? I will trust. Till I die. Won't you say it with me? I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in. Is there one today? I will trust in the Lord. In the Lord. Till I die. Till I die. I'm going to stay on the battlefield.
I'm going to stay on the battlefield.
Yes, I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to stay on the battlefield till I die. Till I die. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray.
I'm going to watch, fight, and pray. I'm going to watch,
fight, and pray. Oh, Lord, I'm
going to watch.
God bless you.
Fight
and pray. Till I die. Oh, Lord, I'm going to watch, fight and pray.
I'm going to watch, fight and pray. I'm going to watch, fight and pray. Until I die.
I'm going to trust in the Lord. Till I die. Till I die. Oh Lord, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in till I die. Amen. Let us hear from our clerk.
Good morning. Pastor Freeman, officers and members of Ebenezer Baptist Church, this morning we have to come with us Brittany Wheeler. She's coming on Christian Experience.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. God bless you, Sister Wheeler. Come stand with me. Oh, you don't want? Oh, it's all right.
Okay.
It's going to be okay. So you're a Christian?
I am.
And you want to follow Christ with us here at Ebenezer?
I do, yes, Amen. Sir. I've only been here a few weeks, and so far I've been blessed beyond measure, so I'm very thankful for that. I feel like it came directly from being in this building with these souls, and so I would like to join this church.
Oh, bless your heart. She's crying. There is a blessing in here. Amen. There is a blessing. Brothers and sisters, Sister Wheeler has come as a Christian to be a member of our church on her Christian experience. And if you support that, say amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Sister Wheeler.
Thank
and
you.
Welcome to Ebenezer, Third Baptist Church. Amen. You can go back to your seat.